Are we going somewhere?
Let's go to the Sunset Strip, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome to the second episode of California Dreaming with Tom and Jen.
Yeah, we thought we'd rock things up in the intro there.
Yeah, hit it back to 1980. Actually, that's not true. I was not on Sunset Strip in 1980.
No, your mum was.
My mom was.
Shout out to Vera.
Vera, yeah, we'll bring her on an episode and she can tell us what it was like to be in LA in the 80s, including dating movie stars and going to Playboy Mansion. But yeah, I mean, that song really makes me think about Sunset Strip, though.
Yeah, it mentions a bunch of places on the Sunset Strip that still exist.
There's another reason why we chose to have that song as an intro, but we will come back to that a little bit later.
Yes. Sunset Strip is one of those places that you hear about, you know, when you hear about Los Angeles, and loads of rock and roll bands had great times on the Sunset Strip. And it's where all of the, not all of, but where a lot of the billboards are in LA. So when you first come here, when you drive down Sunset Strip, you see all these huge billboards of musicians and celebrities, movie stars. And I remember when I first arrived here, seeing someone who's now a friend of ours on a huge side of a building and being, that's going to be me one day.
And it was.
Yeah. A few, like 10 years later, I guess, when I first came here, 2010. Yeah, about 10 years later, yeah. 9 years later.
You had a massive poster of your face.
I had a big poster of my face with Michael Sheen's kind of mixed in for Prodigal Son. Yeah. And before that, there were Walking Dead posters.
Yeah.
And I had my brother and I went out for a drink on the Sunset Strip, and we were playing like a bar game. And on the road, on the sidewalk opposite, was a big Walking Dead billboard with me and a bunch of the other main characters on. And whenever it happens, it's really cool.
I haven't seen my face on Sunset Strip, but I have seen other things on Sunset Strip.
Well, you play music on Sunset Strip. You've had your name on Sunset Strip.
Yeah, that's true. I've had, yeah, we used to play with my first band a lot on like Viper Room and House of Blues and Key Club and all those amazing spots.
Did you play Whiskey?
I never played Whiskey, no.
Whiskey, go, go. But you did play...
Because it's kind of like a pay-to-play there. I think you pay to play.
Is it?
Which is fine. But no, we were friendly with Viper Room, so we would play there a lot. Here, actually, I have a clip from, like, I think 2011, when we played a show at Viper Room with my first band, Bellatech. We were like techno rock or whatever genre you want to call this. Oh my God, the lyrics we used to sing. We don't sell, we just buy, we don't drink, we just get high. Anyway, what else is Viper Room famous for besides Bellatech?
Yeah, Viper Room is where River Phoenix died, just outside the entrance of Viper Room.
When Johnny Depp
owned it at the time. Right. There's a famous Hollywood story, and Joaquin River's brother made the phone call to 911. It's all very tragic.
Yeah, very. But then we have some more romantic memories from Sunset Strip.
We do. Well, Sunset Strip, that first night that we met, ended up going out on Sunset Strip. We went to a taco place opposite the Chateau Marmont. What's that taco place called?
Pinch's Tacos.
Yeah. We went there. We got a six pack from across the street. It's the liquor store right across the street.
Because you can bring your own beer to this.
Yeah, you can take your own beer to this taco place. It's right. It's got a cute little patio on the Sunset Strip. And we
have a photo from the first time we met.
We have a photo from that night.
Yeah.
October 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And we went with a bunch of friends. When I decided finally that I was going to propose to Jennifer.
Finally.
Well, yeah, there was delays for different reasons.
Yeah.
But when I finally got around to it, I took Jennifer back to that taco place on Sunset. We went to the liquor store first and I got a six pack, and we went over to the taco place and sat on stools outside, and I got down on one knee and could barely get through what I was saying because I'm quite an emotional person and I was crying a lot. And so the getting down on my knee was very quick.
Stay there.
And the getting up was very quick. And then as soon as I finished, a homeless lady came along and asked us for change. And I said, here's $20.
Yeah.
So I was feeling very generous.
She's like, what are you guys doing? You're like, I'm in the middle of proposing. But it's like, it was obviously it was very, very LA experience. Yeah. And it was kind of cute, you know?
No, it was great. It was, it's very us. Like, I don't know, I feel like everything should have some kind of meaning and significance, and it shouldn't just be like, oh, I'll take you to a fancy hotel, or I'll take you to the beach, whatever. Like, obviously people do that and for different reasons, but for us, it was more about something that, I like doing these kind of callbacks to things that have happened with us in the past. And
yeah, it was perfect. And then a year later, or a little bit more, we had an engagement party there.
Oh yeah, that was really fun.
So we rented Pinch's Tacos, the patio, and we had we packed it with friends and family that were in town, and had a really fun engagement party.
It was perfect because it's not a huge place, and it wasn't crazy expensive to rent it out, and it was just the perfect place for people to drop in.
Yeah.
So we were there for 4 hours or something, right?
Yeah, it was really fun.
And so many people came. It was really cool. It was because it's right in the middle of LA as well, in the middle of, I guess, where Hollywood meets West Hollywood kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it's in the shadow of the Chateau Marmont, which is this fancy pants hotel that lots of celebrities go to. And
it was kind of cool that we were at the taco place across the street.
Yeah, because we had considered and we'd looked into at the Chateau, they have rooms that you can rent and houses on their property that you can rent. And we'd looked into that and looked into doing some kind of fancy pants reception. And then we just thought, no, let's just do it at the taco place. And it was awesome. That was literally the best thing that we could have done. And I'm really happy we did it that way.
We are 1 week away from...
we don't know what, actually. We think we know.
Yeah, we have no idea. We are 1 week away from having no idea what's going to happen with our lives.
Yeah, yesterday I had a bit of a panic and I got into a bit of an aggro state of mind because I was like, oh my God, we've got two babies coming in a week and we're not ready. I need to make these two baby chairs and I need to... Because what we did well with Harrison is that we made space for him before he arrived with all of the stuff in the house. And we have done that for the twins, but not quite as much. So it really helped us, I think, to kind of have his presence felt in the house before he was physically out in the world. And I just wanted to do a bit more of that yesterday.
One thing that we did to kind of zone in is we had a beautiful ceremony here at the house, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, which is called Mother Blessing. We invited 10 other female friends and we sat in a ring and went back to 1973 and we were all hippies for a couple of hours and we did henna and we were just females. We were not naked, but we had an amazing ceremony and it was beautiful to just be around women, other moms, for me to kind of go back into, the preparations of birth. And I felt very blessed and loved at that moment, and all of our friends were giving us affirmations and prayers, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
And just sending off good energy into me and to my belly and to the baby. So that was incredible. We'll share some photos from this beautiful event that we had.
It was very emotional.
My God, we cried like babies. I did not expect to cry that much.
Yeah, well, you're pregnant with two children.
Yeah, there's a lot of hormones. You cried too. No, everybody cried.
No. There's a lot of hormones flowing through the room. But no, it's a very emotional thing for me as well to watch, because it was just a bunch of people in a room showing
bunch
love
of women.
And support. Yeah, but if it was a bunch of men, it would have been even more emotional, I think.
Well, you should do one. We should do one for you.
I think for a man it would be intensely emotional and hard to go through, because men never express their feelings in that way. There's that common trope of women every month go through an emotional process with their hormones and stuff, and men don't ever. And that's why they fight a lot, or they have no way to routinely express their emotions. So if you sat them all around in a room in a circle and had them say what they meant to each other, I think that would be really hard for a lot of guys. And it was hard for you guys.
Well, I wouldn't say it was hard. It was just incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, but just really lovely to see people openly supporting each other and showing love and expressing themselves. It just doesn't happen enough. It was... In my life, it definitely has been lacking that. And that's reflected in how I've decided to live my life and who I've chosen as my partner and how we're bringing up our children. And everything is all about sharing emotion and space. And it doesn't make it any easier, actually, because there's still a lot of unexpressed emotion that I have, I think. But it comes out in those moments quite visibly.
Yeah. Yeah, and in that moment, I was saying, I can't believe we don't do this more often.
Yeah, absolutely. As a society.
Yeah, as a society, with our friends and loved ones, just expressing how you feel. Anyway, yeah, I think it was one of the most beautiful moments I've ever experienced. And I'm very thankful we had Carmen, our doula, and her doula companion, Milena, who hosted this beautiful event. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know what a doula is, it's basically a birth partner that you have during your pregnancy, but especially labor, who is very experienced and supports you through the process. And our doula, Carmen, has been and was amazing with Harrison. So she's become a family member. Mm-hmm. And we thought we would share a little audio clip from the ceremony. This is towards the end, after we've had an amazing sound bath, and Tom and I are in the middle of the circle, surrounded by 12 women, and we're like sobbing, especially when the music came on. But yeah, this is what it sounded like.
This way we can have a big group hug around them. So it's may the long time sun shine upon you. We're sending this to the babies. All love surround you. And the pure light within you, to your hearts, guide your way on.
May the long time sun shine upon you. Oh, love surround.
I mean, talk about California dreaming. So we live up in the hills and we're surrounded by greenery and we have a very zen vibe at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it really fit.
Well, in this house, we know the previous owner, this house has had two babies born inside of it as well. So it has that kind of cool new birth energy. There's only been four, we're the fourth owner of this house, and the second owner of this house had two babies in the living room where we had the mother blessing, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot to do with when we first walked into the house, it has a really cool vibe to it. And I definitely think that contributed to it, you know.
Yeah.
And we are still wearing, so at the end of the ceremony, everyone sat around and wrapped a red thread around each person's wrist. And as they did so, they said something about Jennifer and what she meant to them and their blessing. And then we went round the group with a candle and burnt the links between each other and tied them on our wrists. And those are to be worn until the birth of the twins, which is really beautiful. And so everyone in the circle is wearing a red thread wristband, which is a really nice way of showing support and being part of the circle, which is really cool. It's very witchy. I like it.
Back in the day, I used to scour the shelves at the vintage stores for the most uncomfortable shoes. And yeah, sure, they were pretty cool looking, but to squeeze my size 10 feet into these small things, I was exhausted. That's why I'm excited to share some insider comfort tips, courtesy of our partners, Shepherd of Sweden, my favorite slipper brand. My top pick is the Elsa sandal, with its genuine wool and a stylish design, and honestly, they are so comfortable. Visit shepherdofsweden.com to add a touch of Elsa to your spring outfit, because you won't regret it. Find them at shepherdofsweden.com. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to engage some listeners. So I asked on my Final Child broadcast channel if anyone has some questions for us, or for you, or for me. for the podcast. And there's a question here for Tom from Raven Alex Rose. Who has had the most impact on your life?
The most impact on my life. I think I'm very fortunate to have parents that have supported me in what I wanted to do. But I think it's people that have the most impact on your life is should maybe be someone from outside of your immediate family. So the one person that I think really helped me through my early development and helped me on my path where I am is my drama teacher from school. Her name's Sue Curtis.
This is from your drama school?
No, this is from my school.
Uh-huh.
And I think I had already been doing like school plays and stuff, but then when I moved from junior school to senior school when I was 11, the lady in charge of all of the drama stuff in that part of school was a lady named Sue Curtis, who was awesome and really, really supportive of me and what I wanted to do. And school for me, as I think it was for you, was a little bit like kind of boring and pointless. And I was like, what am I, you know, I'm not really interested in any of this. Mm-hmm. But I was always really interested in drama, and I really enjoyed drama. And Sue really helped to foster that within me and push me forward with it. And outside of that, I would get into trouble sometimes in school, and she would always be in my corner. And when I got to the last 2 years of school, she was like my tutor. Like, we have tutor groups, and she was my tutor. And she was just all really, really, really supportive, and then helped me with my drama school applications and everything. And actually, I just sent her a video for her 80th birthday party a few weeks ago. Nice. Yeah, it's really cool because her son reached out to me. Hey, could you make a video for my mum's 80th? I know it would mean a lot to her. And so I was able to go and stand out on our deck in our house in the Hollywood Hills and thank her for everything she'd done for me and say, like, this is going to be a bit name-droppy, but I think it's great for you to hear this. Like, I just shot a movie with Kevin Costner and I have this coming out and that coming out and I wouldn't have been able to do it without your support. And it's so nice. I think teachers are, I mean, I couldn't be a teacher. I think it's one of the hardest jobs, and it's not well paid. But it's so important for kids to have good teachers, good role models, and support. So I'm very grateful to her.
Have you thought about her in other moments, like when you're doing a job or when you're questioning yourself?
In the same way that, like I said in the video, like, I would love it if she, you know, if she knew what I was doing, and I'm sure she follows what I do. I think she'd obviously be very proud and happy. And she's definitely on my people to thank list if I ever get any kind of recognition.
But you knew before you met her that you wanted to be an actor.
I did, but you always need that extra push, I think, that extra encouragement and someone who agrees with you and your vision. And yeah, of course you can do that. Because most people won't. And it's nice to have that strong belief and then have someone back it up, especially someone who's not in your family, because it legitimizes what you feel and how you think about what you can achieve.
Nice.
Okay, question for Jennifer from Blue Doir.
Ooh.
What is your favorite part of making music?
My favorite part about making music is creating something from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's super, super cool.
Yeah, super cool.
When I started writing a lot by myself after various bands and stuff, there was like, this is going to sound so cheesy, there was this sort of magic that started to happen that I hadn't really experienced before writing with others. I really felt like I was tapping into another place or dimension, I guess Rick Rubin would say, who I really like. Sometimes it just comes to you. There's like a flow that happens and it's like, what's happening? But you just keep doing it and you've tapped into this other place. And that's super cool. It doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, a lot of the biggest musicians I've seen in interviews say, like, oh, that song just kind of wrote itself. Like,
right.
A lot of my best songs just kind of came out of me. Which is really cool.
Those songs literally come and you finish them in 5 minutes. So the moment that we found out we're having twins, they told us that they are 100% identical.
Mm-hmm.
And that they will be the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be two of two.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be two boys, or there'll be two girls.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, either of those situations is a lot. But one of those situations we feel is a little bit more than another one.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to lie. I was really seriously thinking, if we have two boys, then we're going to have to get like a bigger house straight away.
Because
like,
that meant we were going to have three boys.
Yeah, because then we would have three boys in the house.
And, under three.
Yeah. we love Harrison, and he's actually a pretty easy kid. But boys have a certain energy, and you know, you just need a garden to throw them out in and have them mess around. Girls can be a little bit different in what we've noticed from our friends.
I come from a family of three girls.
Exactly.
And you come from a family of two boys and one girl. Mm-hmm. So we had to wait, I think, a month before we found out what sex it was. And we wanted to do like a gender reveal with family that were in town, but we couldn't hold ourselves.
Oh, that's right. Because you found out before me, but you didn't find out before me, but you knew that you could.
No, so what you can do, I think at a, like 18 weeks, you can do a blood test, which shows the chromosomes in your blood.
Yeah.
So if they detect male chromosomes in my blood, that means that we were going to have two boys.
Because
and if there are no male chromosomes in my blood, that means they were girls.
Right.
So we did the blood test. And I got an email. We were like about to go out to see a friend's gig. And I got an email saying that my test results had come through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was alone in the studio, and I was like, oh my God, I can click on this button and I can know what we're having. So I waited a little bit until Harrison had gone to sleep or whatever. Then I got you and I said, come into the studio.
There's a lot of self-control in that.
Well, I would never do that.
No.
No, and I would never look by myself. Yes, anyway, so I brought you into the studio, and basically I showed you like the link, and it said, view your test results, and you click here. And we were like, okay, we decided to do it, basically.
Oh, God, that's actually making me nervous thinking about it now.
And we clicked on it, but there was one more link to click on after that, because it said, view with sex reveal or view without.
Oh, yeah.
So then we're like, again, like, oh, you know, should we find out? And then we, of course, clicked on view with sex reveal. And what did it say, babe?
Well, that comes back to the song that we played at the beginning of this episode. We were looking for a fun way to...
A little clue.
Yeah, to do a little reveal. And we revealed the first pregnancy with a music video from Jen. And then we just thought, oh, the podcast is a fun way to start with the reveal of the pregnancy. And then what's a song that reveals the sex that relates to where we're from or where we live? And if you haven't guessed already, that song is called...
Girls, girls, girls. Woohoo! See you next week.
See you next week, where we'll talk about the girls, girls, girls.